brothers and sisters. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. God's Word is so powerful. God's Word, you know, is not just like a newspaper we pick up. It's not just a book that we like to read. His Word has life. His Word has power to change us. Power. Do you read God's Word? I want you to read God's Word every day, even if you can't get to Mass. Take a few minutes and read the Scriptures for the day. You'll be amazed. I don't mean that every day, every time, there'll be something that will really hit you, but it'll be a lot of times over a year's span when you'll be so grateful to know what the Lord says. So the opening prayer for today says this: God of might, giver of every good gift, put into our hearts the love of your name, so that by deepening our sense of reverence, you may nurture in us what is good, and by your watchful care, keep safe what you have nurtured. Think of that. Just think what I just said. Let that word, let that prayer become your prayer today, because he wants to give us a love of his name if we ask for it. He wants to deepen our sense of reverence. He wants us to know what is good and to look for what is good and to live what is good, not turning away to those things that are confusing or downright wrong. He wants you with him. The first reading for today's Mass is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 16. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God. Among men, who knows what pertains to the man except his spirit that is within? Similarly, no one knows what pertains to God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand the things freely given us by God. And we speak about them not with words taught by human wisdom, but with words taught by the Spirit, describing spiritual realities in spiritual terms. Now, the natural man does not accept what pertains to the Spirit of God, for to him it is foolishness, and he can't understand it because it is judged spiritually. That is the Word of God. Those are my words. The one who is spiritual, however, can judge everything, but is not subject to judgment by anyone. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to counsel him? But we have the mind of Christ. God shares with us through his Holy Spirit. He gives us himself. He leads us in the ways he wants us to go. Sometimes we're just too busy, too noisy, too carrying on all kinds of ways. Just stop. Stop two or three times a day. And just say, Lord, what is your will for me now? What's your will for me? And you might not hear anything, nothing at all. Then do what you think is best to do. But give the Lord the opportunity, if he wants you to move in a particular way, to inspire you to do something you hadn't thought of doing. Doesn't mean that he's going to come down from heaven and tell you that. But he'll lead you. If he has it. Many times he does not. Just continue to live your life faithful to him and loving him. The Lord is just in all his ways, tells Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all. He's compassionate toward all his works. Let you all your works, Lord, give you thanks. Let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. Do you do that? Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom. Do you share scripture passages with one another? Do you talk about the Lord or how you've seen the Lord working? making known to men your might and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom for all ages, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words, and holy in all his works. The Lord lifts up all who are falling. Ask him, help me, Lord. Help me, lift me up. He raises all who are bowed down. That's a promise. He's doing that for us, those who listen to him, those who pray, those who seek him. He will lead you. You can't just out of the air say, Lord, tell me what to do here. Although sometimes he actually does come to our aid. But most of the time it's when we give him time in prayer, when he's first, nobody else, that he's first, then you begin to hear more of his ways, and he is just in all his ways. And then we take a reading today from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4, verses 31 to 37. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town of Galilee. He taught them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching because he spoke with authority. In the synagogue there was a man with the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet, come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down in front of them and came out of him. He did this without doing him any harm. They were all amazed and said to one another, "What is there about his word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and news of him spread everywhere in the surrounding region." Think of that, brothers and sisters. People tormented by evil, tormented by evil thoughts, tormented by others' evil practice toward us. Think of that. He says that he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. Ask him to take from you anything that is unclean. Anything, brothers and sisters. He loves you. He loves you in everything that you're doing during the day. He loves you. He wants to hear you. His ear, so to speak, his ear is ever attentive to you. You say, "How can God do that? Only God can do that." But he does. He hears your every word. Turn to him. Ask him for help. And then listen. Learn how to be still. You might spend 15 minutes, a half hour in the church or in a quiet room, and then you get up and go. He hasn't said anything to you, but by golly, when the time comes, oftentimes you know what to do. Sometimes it's very quiet, but you know what you should do. Trust him. He's your Father. He's your Lord and Savior, and he wants to save. And demons can get into our way all the time. They can. We do not want those demons to get us. The unclean spirits, we turn to the Lord and we say, "Lord, don't let me think this way. Please help me in your name. Don't let me act this way. Help me, Lord. Give me strength to do what is right and what is good." And God will help you. But you need to listen. It isn't just like a magic word. You pray, and then he will speak to you at the time that you need. Not necessarily in words, but you'll know what you should do. And we can reject it. We have that power. Don't reject God's word. Choose it. Listen to it. Apply it to your life. He loves us dearly, dearly. Brothers and sisters, that's what we want. In the Magnificat magazine, I found a meditation by Father Bonino who is a Dominican priest and professor at the Pontifical University and the Secretary General of the International Theological Commission. That's a mouthful, isn't it? And this is what he writes. At first glance, the Church's teaching on the active and nefarious presence of the demons could be somewhat frightening. And in fact, when poorly integrated into doctrine as a whole and Christian life, the belief in demons has sometimes given rise, individually and also collectively, to an existential anguish, an unhealthy panic, as if man were passively prey to occult powers. An unhealthy panic, as if man were passively prey to occult powers, whether good or evil, who battled himself inside him without his consent. This view of things is a clever victory of the demon, because Christianity, quite the contrary, has presented itself from the beginning as a message of liberation from the fatalism and fear inspired by the powers, so to speak. To cut short these unnatural fears, it is enough to recall that in the final analysis, the demon has no power over us but what our freedom is willing to grant him. Certainly, the difference in nature between man and the demon may seem to make the spiritual combat an uneven match, but it is not, inasmuch as man can freely have recourse to the help of divine grace and of the angels. In fact, this teaching about the activity of the demons is not an invitation to panic, but rather to a calm and peaceful vigilance over oneself and to a healthy fear of God. Healthy. Fear means you reverence him. You put him first. You take what he says to you before all else. In this combat, the Church, following St. Paul, encourages the faithful to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, from Ephesians chapter 6. Thus, the believer participates in Christ's paschal victory over the forces of evil. A rigorous life in union with Christ is consequently the best defense against demonic attacks. The greater evidence we see of demonic power over these depths on earth, the more inseparably should we cling to the mediator by whose power alone we can rise from the deepest depth to the power and to the heights of heaven. That's from St. Augustine. Prayer, whether private or communal, delivers us from evil. Frequent reception of the sacraments and good works are the most effective weapons of the Christian in spiritual combat. Brothers and sisters, if you're dealing with all kinds of temptations and thoughts, etc., that are definitely not from God, what you want to say is, Lord, I want your authority. I want your authority to reign in my life. He's not going to squash you down and make you unhappy. He's going to give you life, real life, full life. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.